Welcome back to the Technology in Worship podcast, where we talk everything technology in worship. And by we, I mean myself, Eric Coleman, and my good buddy,
Benji Satorius. Hey, you actually did it this time.
I did it this time.
You didn't forget like last time.
Last time I forgot. Like, who are you? You're my good buddy.
Yeah, that I am.
Well, we're back here in the Studio A room of Mission Bible Church.
We are.
And
I don't know if I gave that up. I don't think people know all the studios that we've built out now.
Well,
here.
You could give a quick tour verbally.
a quick audio verbal
tour.
So we have multiple studios. We have a Studio A, which is where we mix our broadcast.
It's mostly audio related.
Audio, so A, hence the A. And then
it's also your office.
It is my office and Riley's office.
It's also where we have been recording the podcast.
Yes. The two of us will record our podcast. Yes. Then we have a Studio B, which is our video room
broadcast
mix, I guess. Broadcast video mix, whatever you want to call it. And so that's where Pro Presenter is. That's where our video director switcher is. There's a couple other spots in there, but that's just across the hall in the basement. And then we've got a Studio C for camera.
Yeah, that's how
we're pretty cool around here.
Technically, you could probably have it Studio D for camera as well and video, but
yeah. But anyways, it's Studio C, and that's where we film our announcement videos. That's where we record a couple of other podcasts that we put out for Mission. So the mics are over there, but then we record through Pro Tools in Studio A. So yeah, that's kind of the new layout. That they're all in the basement. They're all pretty close to each other on the opposite side of the building from the worship center. So we're like as far away from the worship center as you can get, basically. So yeah, everything comes over Dante. So it's pretty easy to get the audio feeds down here. And then for video, it's all, for the most part, it's just network lines, because our videos, the actual brains and the switcher and all the cable runs, goes to a server room that's actually upstairs. So everything downstairs for video is basically just network cables that talk to the brains of the actual switcher. And we run a KVM system, so the computers all live in that server room. So it's just basically like access points for the computers down here, user stations. So yeah, there's a quick rundown of what we've done over the last summer of changing out our layout of our rooms.
The main point that I was trying to get at with all of this that I don't think I mentioned in our last podcast is that we are no longer at the round table.
This is true.
I don't know if I mentioned that.
No. So up until actually last week's podcast, we still recorded in this same room, but we were on kind of like bar stool height chairs
at a round table.
And now we're in really comfortable chairs.
They don't recline.
They don't recline. They don't massage. They don't heat. I guess maybe they're not comfortable.
They're not as comfortable as it may sound. But
no, these,
they're more comfortable than a folding chair.
Here's a really quick story about these chairs that you can't see them, but they're pretty nice.
They're like, just to describe them, it's got like a wooden frame.
Wooden frame, yes.
With
an off-white cream cushion back.
Cushion and back and bottom.
So we've been wanting a chair very similar to this for our video podcast that we're going to be putting out for Mission. And they were like $400 a piece or something stupid, ridiculous price like that.
For a chair.
For a chair. And we wanted a couple chairs, at least two, preferably three, but so we kind of held off just to kind of see, like, do we really need $800 worth of chairs just to sit in?
Well, that'd be only for two chairs as well.
Right. I know. And Riley was at a store that happened to have a donation box where you can like donate clothes and
furniture
stuff. And this was a Saturday, and I was actually on my way here, and he calls me. He's like, "Hey, where you at?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm just leaving the store, a different store, and I'm on my way to there." He's like, "Oh, swing by this other store and pick up these chairs that are just sitting outside the box. I'm like, okay. So I swung over there, and these chairs were just sitting next to that donation box.
Huh.
And so I'm like, "Well, we're a nonprofit. We're a church. We take donations." So we took them.
Oh, okay.
And they're like brand new. They're pretty nice. So that's where these $400 chairs came from.
All right.
We did not buy them.
Do you know that these are the actual $400 chair?
Riley actually found this exact same chair at Target. And I want to say it was like three something. I don't remember the exact price, but it's pretty expensive.
Okay.
But the reason why we like these chairs is they're a little bit narrower than like your typical chair.
I like the narrowness.
They fit good for like a video podcast type of vibe.
Yeah.
So anyways.
We're not there yet with our podcast for video.
But no video. Maybe, you guys maybe can't. You won't see us. You won't see our awesome faces. Anyways.
There's a reason we're behind the scenes. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But yeah, we're back here at the chair lounge.
The chair lounge.
And we are ready to record another podcast for our listeners.
Yeah.
And today we wanted to jump in and talk about working remotely.
Working remote, offloading work to remote people. So yeah, just kind of opening up that conversation. Obviously, COVID hit and everybody was remote, and now we've come out of that. But I think the remote talk and trying to figure things out still is still pretty important in today's world, even though we're out of COVID. And so yeah, so that's what we're going to do. We've kind of hinted on and talked just briefly in other podcasts about how we access our computers remotely, but we've never done an actual episode of this is how we do that. This is what I would do if I needed to do this, that type of thing. So
I think of two categories, and you can add three or four if you can think of it, when it comes to why someone would do remote work.
Yeah.
One of them may be that you absolutely, you know, you're a one-man show kind of thing, or like you're the sole person who knows the system and you just need to get work done because you're home sick, I guess you could say, or maybe you're on vacation
and something happens at the church and they're like, "Hey, Johnny, you're the only one that knows this." Yep. So you don't really get a vacation, unfortunately. Yeah. But
or you help other churches, maybe. Like maybe you're someone that has gone to another church facility, whether paid or unpaid or whatever, but you've helped, you know, you need to be able to continue to offer support for that group of people. Or honestly, if you're like Benji and I, sometimes you just need to get out of the building. And sometimes it's just easier to work from home or the coffee shop or the library. I can't remember the last time I was actually in a library.
I can't remember either.
But I would say those are the kind of I guess that's technically three.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I would probably only add on there like offloading work. So you might be in a case where you are the only person, or you might have a couple people, but you still want to be able to do more. And, you know, obviously you're only one person. There's only so much time in the day, so much time in the week that you can work. So you might contract out work that would be done remotely. That could be mixing broadcasts remotely. I know that's a pretty popular thing nowadays. Graphics, you can, you know, remote that out to other companies, other people. So yeah, there's obviously like the internal, I say internal, but we're talking about remote, but like internal work as far as like you're an employee and you're at your house working remote, or offloading work to a contractor that, you know, is helping you pull stuff off for a weekend or during the week. So Eric, as far as at Harvest, what kind of remote work do you guys do there, or do you do specifically for Harvest?
So at Harvest, we do, I would say as a staff, value the standard in-person work environment. I don't know if that makes sense.
So you guys are highly encouraged to
be in
on
the
campus
office. Yep. Yeah. However, I've set up systems, mostly all involving, you know, networking devices, so that, I guess in particular, I can offer remote support for all of the other ministries that take place during quote unquote non-office hours.
So basically you work 24/7.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Because there are ministries at Harvest that meet very regularly and use every system, throughout our entire building. Now they each have their own dedicated technical volunteer. Each ministry leader kind of finds that person, and then I train that person. And most of the time, you know, after a few weeks of training on hands-on, that person can handle everything and anything. But there are those times where something isn't where it usually is, or whatever it is, and they call in and ask for help. And now, with remote support like that, I can log into the network at church, and I can troubleshoot most things outside of plugging something in or what have you.
So when you refer to log into the network, is that like you're in the building and something's on the other end of the building, or you're at your desk and another room needs help, or is that you are at Starbucks or at your house logging into the network?
It could be either of those options, because depending on the time that that ministry is meeting.
Right.
Let's just say it's a Saturday morning, and I'm out to coffee with my fiance.
Oh, you said the F word.
Yeah, I did.
Nice.
Let's just say we're having coffee, and someone from our men's ministry, which meets Saturday mornings, needs help. I can log in using that coffee shop's Wi-Fi.
Right.
Connect to the VPN that is already set up at the church.
Yep.
Log into screen sharing, log into that exact computer, and then that exact computer or device, I should say, and control the desktop on the computer, or as long as it's something, if the soundboard's powered on, I can log in on my iPad to the soundboard application or whatever.
Yep. So let's say you were in the building.
Yep.
How would you, because you have a large campus, it might take like an hour to get from one end to the other.
It is a large campus. It doesn't take quite an hour.
But anyways.
We do have a staff member who has now purchased a scooter.
Nice. But someone's reached out to you, you're at your desk or wherever you're at, and it's on the other end of the building. Let's just say you would remote in. How would you do that? All your computers are, I'm assuming, Mac?
Yeah, all the
production computers. As far as like the
production computers are Mac-based.
So what would you do and how would you do that?
I would make sure I'm on our production network.
Are all your production computers, regardless where they're at in the building, on the production network?
Every computer and production device, regardless of where it is in the building, is on the production network, whether that be a wired connection
or wireless.
Or wireless.
Yep. Okay.
Wired preferred.
Right.
For stability. If I'm logging into a computer, I connect to that same network, wired or wireless. I open the screen sharing application,
which is built in on Mac.
Built in on Mac. Every Mac comes with it.
You can do the shortcut if you're like on your desktop / like Finder. You can hit Command K and it brings up like your connection screen. You type the IP address of the computer and connect in. Is that not what you do? You actually go through the screen sharing app?
I do.
Oh.
There's a shortcut?
There is.
Prove it. Show me on that computer.
So you would hit the, you'd go to Go.
Go.
And then you would say connect to server. And you would type in VNC:// and then the IP address of the computer.
See, that doesn't seem like a shortcut to me.
But it's already saved, ready to go.
But I can just open the screen sharing app, which is in my dock, because I use it so often.
Sure.
And then I hit connect.
Okay. They're both shortcuts. I actually do this. I connect the same way, kind of. I use the same app, but I don't actually do it through the screen sharing app.
That's awesome.
If that makes any sense to anyone.
Yeah, there are multiple ways. Because even in the Finder, I know that there's like a connect button.
Yeah.
But I don't
use that. Before you are able to do that, though, on the all your production computers, you do have to go into System Preferences and turn on /enable screen sharing. And... if you don't have that, it doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to be able to screen share as far as using the screen sharing app. Now, there's other apps that you can use, but through the Mac side of it, you have to enable screen sharing. Once that is there, then you use the username and password for that computer to log in. And it's basically as if you're sitting in front of the computer.
The one downside, which is being updated.
Yes.
Is that... obviously you can't plug things in or unplug things, but you can't hear any audio from
the computer you're connecting to. Yeah.
However, Apple, if you're running Sonoma on both machines, now has a setting within screen sharing that you can turn on high performance mode. Or standard mode, but high performance mode is supposed to give you a more robust, reliable connection, and you can hear the audio. I have tested this. It does work.
However,
at the time of this recording, there is a known glitch that it turns off the display on the connecting computer that you're connecting to.
Which, I guess, for the most part, isn't that big of a deal unless you've got someone... at that computer that you're like, hey, watch me do this. So now you know next time what to do. They can't see what you're doing because it turns the screen off.
Correct.
But that's only if you really need to listen to the audio.
Yep.
Other than that, the standard mode, you can do everything else. Correct. As if you were sitting at that computer.
I think Benji and I would both also agree that we went through the phase of using... alternative screen sharing applications.
There is a lot of them out there, and I was going to get there.
Oh, I'm jumping.
No, you can.
Such as TeamViewer. I would say that's probably the biggest one, or there's probably some feature in Zoom or something like that, or even Google Chrome Remote Desktop.
Yep.
Is an option. I have found that screen sharing is just the most reliable.
It is.
And
however... you do have to have
Mac to Mac.
And you have, if you're outside the network, you have to have some sort of VPN to get you on the same network.
Yeah.
If you don't have that option, you can't use the screen sharing app if you're outside of the network.
Apple does make a alternative application. I don't remember what it's called. Apple Remote Desktop, I think, which is a paid application.
Yes.
That, honestly, I don't even know what it offers.
I've never looked into it.
That
so I don't know.
Screen sharing doesn't offer.
I wonder if it allows you to connect without like a VPN if you're outside of the network.
Yeah, that's what I don't
but
know.
I don't know. I've never
We're talking about it. Something that we don't know because it's kind of pointless for our scenarios. I do think it allows you to do more like mass, like let's just say you're running some sort of like school environment or something like that.
Multiple computers.
You can push like the updates
to multiple
computers at the same time rather than logging in individually and updating.
Yep.
So I'm just mentioning that as another option. But Apple screen sharing between Apple devices, specifically computers, is fantastic.
It is.
I don't know what Apple is waiting for. They need to release some sort of version of that for like iOS, iPad devices.
I'm sure they're listening to our podcast, so
they better be. They put a USB-C port.
Hey, they finally. How many times have you guys heard me say on this podcast, Apple, what is wrong with you? Put USB-C on your iPhones.
They're clearly listening to us.
And now they did. So obviously, some of the higher-ups are listening to us. We're making a difference, so one iPhone at a time.
Now we're saying put screen sharing on iPad OS because I feel like there are a lot of production iPads in use in the world nowadays.
Yeah.
And I would particularly love that because there could be some world of opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I find myself remoting in most often for support reasons. But I also take advantage of it for those moments when I wake up at 2 a.m. and I can't go back to bed. And I'm just like, you know what?
I'm going to get some work done.
And I log in.
Wow. Look at you.
And I just get some work done.
See, I was kidding when I said you work 24/7, but you literally work around the clock.
Whether it looms over my head or doesn't, it's just kind of nice to wake up and not, I don't know, or just like, let's just say I'm having a meeting offsite at a coffee shop or whatever, which I guess that tends to be where I go, not the library. And we're talking about the weekend service, and I just want to make the update that we just talked about in our meeting.
In real time.
In real time on that computer because I've already made the presentation for the weekend or whatever. Yep. So I don't forget about it. Log in, switch the order around, switch the song, whatever it is in ProPresenter, log in remotely, do the dance, call it done.
Nice.
So I would say for me, most often, it's for those two reasons.
Yep.
I'm offering support for a ministry or I am suffering from, what is that? That's not amnesia, is it? I don't know what they call that.
When you
sleep
can't sleep.
Like not sleep apnea.
When
but
you can't sleep and you or you wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever that is. And, or just, honestly, there's times, too, where it's just like you need to change the scenery and you need to get out of the building. And so what about you? And I think that you have a few other interesting remote scenarios that you should share, specifically the ones related to audio.
Oh, okay. So prior to having a VPN, we used TeamViewer. It worked really well for us. And then I wasn't like trying to hide anything. I didn't actually know about like the commercial license thing. So I was just using my personal email. This was like when I first came on staff. I just kind of set it up and got it going on all of our computers and using my personal email. I didn't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, like, they blocked my connection and turned it off where I could only connect for like 30 seconds.
Oof.
And then automatically disconnect. And they're like, we have been tracking a regular pattern of connections, and it seems like this is for commercial use or something along those lines. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm using it on 14 computers.
So if you want to go forward, you have to pay for the commercial license. I'm like, okay. So we did, which I don't remember what it was at the time. I want to say it was like $500 for the year, $600 a year, something like that. Not cheap. But we ran that for a year or two. And then I'm like, this is kind of expensive. I mean, we're using it, so it is like not going to waste, but it just seems expensive for what I'm doing. And I started talking with our IT guy, and he's like, we could do a VPN. It's free. And boom, you connect in, or you turn that on basically, and then you can connect in and you're done. So I'm like, okay, let's do that. So we stopped the TeamViewer, switched over to using screen sharing and the VPN. And we've been running that for, I don't know, 5-6 years or something like that.
I would say something that may or may not have been clear up to this point. You can use the screen sharing application and turn on that setting if you are in the building connected on the same network without a VPN.
Yeah.
But you have to be connected in the same building on that network.
On that network, yeah.
So you won't be able to take advantage of those remote features truly remotely offsite.
Sure.
Without a VPN.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's times where I'm like, I'm just feeling lazy and I'll sit in my office and I'll remote connect to a computer that might be 10 steps away. It might be 1,000 steps away.
It's so nice though.
So yes, in that case, I don't have to turn the VPN on because I'm already on the same network. I just go to connect to a server, not the screen sharing app, which I might start doing that. I don't know. We'll see. Type the IP address in, hit connect, and boom, I'm in. Outside of the network, outside of the building, then I basically do the same thing. But before I type the IP address and connect in, I turn the VPN on. And we have a Dell SonicWall firewall, I think. So it's a Dell VPN app something. I don't know. I didn't set it up. The IT guy did. But yeah, so it works really good. I have the same thing on my phone. So I use an app on my phone that I can connect in called RVNC Viewer. So I have the SonicWall app for the VPN. I turn that on, go to my RVNC Viewer app, and I've got my saved computers there. And so I can remote into all my computers from my phone if I need to. And
it's a little clunky operating
it's
it on
clunky,
the phone.
But
you can do it.
I have a really good story on how I used it this past summer.
Oh, I'd like to hear, because I was down for the count.
I was on a bicycle ride trip, multi-day thing in Wisconsin. And over the weekend, and I'm riding along and I get a text message saying, hey, something on Pro Tools isn't working right. And I'm like, did you try this? And I texted like a couple options or whatever. And they're like, yeah, we tried that. That didn't fix it. I'm like, okay, I can remote in without stopping, riding my bike.
While riding a bike. While so was a bike. This a no-handed operation on
this
the bicycle?
This was...
Single-handed operation?
I think either single-handed or I leaned way forward and I just put my elbows / forearms on the handlebar and I did like the two-finger landscape mode maybe. I don't know exactly, but I did it.
All of us cyclists kind of have that, we know.
It was, yeah. So it is clunky, but it saved the day in a case like that where I didn't have my computer with me and I was available. And I was able to get them up and running. So obviously, yes, in the best case scenario, I would use my laptop. But you can use your phone or iPad with that app, and that app is free. But yeah, so we've used the TeamViewer. Now we use the VPN. Our setup and teardown campus, we use the Google remote desktop, and it works really well. I don't like that, at least from what I have been able to find out, I can't have multiple users log into that because it's technically tied to my church Google email account. So I've tried workarounds. I've Googled it, and it looks like there might be workarounds. I've tried. I just couldn't get it working. But
that's because that's on a different network.
It's on a different network. It's a school network. The computer is plugged in and on in a closet, but yeah,
connected to their Wi-Fi. Then
connected to their Wi-Fi. So it's connected to the internet. I don't have a VPN set up for the school. I've never asked, but they probably wouldn't give it to me anyways. Like, that's kind of weird.
Security issues.
So in that scenario, I have to use some sort of third-party app to connect in. And I've tried AnyDesk, and that seems kind of clunky to me. So I've stuck with the Google Chrome remote desktop, and it seems to work really well, and it's free. But downside is, as far as that I can tell, is you can only have one user that connects in. The nice thing with the VPN is we can have 10 people logged into the same computer if we needed to.
Yeah.
There's really no limit. So as long as they have a username for the VPN, they logged in, we can all access the same computer at the same time or at different times. So another one is Jump Desktop. I think ChurchFront uses that for all their like remote stuff. It's a paid option, but it looks really cool and looks really good. So yeah, so I'm close to the same ballpark as you as far as the VPN and how I use it, how I don't use it. I'll do a lot of work from my house, not necessarily like at a coffee shop or troubleshooting per se. It's more or less just, you know, I got some time in the evening before I go to bed, and I'll just jump on real quick and set up ProPresenter or whatever it might be. So, but yeah, same concept. I can connect to our board, basically, other than physically turning something on and off and physically plugging something in. Obviously, that's a little hard to do remotely. But yeah, the other thing is like contractor work, sending work out remotely. And that could be lots of different ways. But I would say a big one in today's world is mixing broadcasts remotely. Before we started recording, you said you've tried that.
I've tried mixing broadcasts remotely. However, that usually involves a lot of delay, because the way that I've done it is, I guess, twofold, because we have two different audio systems that can operate at the same time. One being connecting directly to the soundboard through like my iPad application.
Yep.
And mixing our stream mix feed, like physical faders on the stream, like an aux mix.
Yep.
So changing the fader, but then once again, still like a minute delay between that occurring and what I hear on the live stream.
Because you're listening to the live stream. You're connected.
One device has the live stream pulled up. My iPad has the soundboard pulled up.
So on your iPad, you turn the VPN on.
Yep.
Open up the Allen and Heath app.
Correct.
It's got the IP address already in there. Hit connect. Go to that aux or whatever. And you can mix in real time. But since you're listening to the live stream, that could be 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 60 seconds delay, whatever it might be. You're not really like, anytime you make a change, it's a minute or so before you actually
delayed.
Hear
so
that.
So it's
change.
More like, yeah, you have to think
Because it's not delayed. It's like you actually moving the fader is not the delayed part. It's because you're listening to the live stream.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or we also have a broadcast mixing station set up in our green room. And kind of the same thing, can remote desktop into that.
Because that's just a computer running a DAW.
It's a computer running a DAW.
Yep.
But the same problem is present. Like, even though I'm mixing in real time at that station,
you're still listening to the live stream.
I'm still listening to the live stream with a minute delay or whatever.
I've got a fix for you.
I want to hear what your idea is.
Multiple fixes. I've got multiple ways, multiple solutions.
Well, before you get there.
Okay.
Well, I want to set up, and this is where I want to take remote work for Harvest this year.
Okay.
Which I don't think is that involved, actually, but I don't know how to do it yet.
Okay.
I want to run our multi-view.
Yes.
Into some sort of constant live stream IP address thing.
Mm.
Where it's not like going through OBS or something like that. Like, not a stream, like in that sense of the term.
Yep.
But its own digital view.
So you could see it from your house.
So I could see it from my house.
Without delay.
Without delay, or with minimal delay.
Yep.
But like, that's all I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to have to log into a computer and do it that way. Like, I want it to be like I log into that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's cool.
Continue. I think that you probably want to do that now too. But
no, I don't.
Oh. You do? Okay.
Someone else does. That's actually an interesting idea. Anyways.
I'm not sure. That still doesn't help this exact issue.
Yeah.
But that's one of the.
So here's what we do for mixing broadcasts remotely, which. We don't normally do this. This is not something that we do. We've got an intern that is a contractor for us that mixes our broadcast. But I have mixed broadcast remotely, and it works really well. So we use Pro Tools. So a DAW is just running on a Mac Pro. And using the VPN, I log in remotely, and now I've got access to adjusting levels on Pro Tools in real time, no delay.
Which, before you get to how you're doing this currently, if both computers were running Sonoma and you turned on that high efficiency mode, in theory,
it would not work.
Oh, never mind.
For us.
Okay.
Only because of the audio routing. The audio routing is not ran internally to the computer. Like, the output of Pro Tools does not go to my Mac speakers or the headphone jack.
Which technically you could create an aggregated multi-output device.
I could do that. Yep. Which we do have one, but that's just not how Pro Tools is routed, because I don't need the speaker on the Mac. So yes, in theory, if it was ran to the left and right as like another output, I guess that would probably work.
Aside from the current hiccup.
Yeah. However, what we do is there's two ways to do this. There's running a program feed into your comm system, if your comm lives on a network, which we use Unity Intercom for that. So all of our comm is internet-based and network-based. So we run the broadcast feed, program feed into Unity. I log into Unity on my phone or my computer, iPad, whatever it might be outside of the network. I can talk in real time with, like, I don't know, it's super millisecond delays. I'm not sure the exact number, but it's very low. I want to say it's like 40 millisecond delay, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty low. And so I can talk to anyone on comm. I can listen to anybody on comm. and I can adjust my volume level of my program feed. So now I can then route the output of my laptop to studio speakers if I wanted to, or use my AirPods, headphones, whatever it might be. And boom, I've got audio in 40 millisecond delay. I can mix in basically real time as well through the VPN screen sharing into the computer. And I actually don't have the actual live stream pulled up at all, because obviously that's going to be a 30 second delay or whatever it might be. So that's how we do it. That's how we do it here. And it's really easy, simple, works really well. If you don't have a way of sending program feed through your comm and have it live on the internet and all that stuff, another option is a program called cleanfeed.com, CLEANFEED.com. And that is basically the same concept of you open up that. I think it only works on Chrome or only works on Safari. I don't remember, or maybe that's the phone version. I can't remember. But open that up. You can say, listen to this audio device for incoming audio. So you do that on your computer that's sending the audio out. And then on your computer at home, you listen to that channel. You basically log in with your email address, log in, and it sends the audio over. And it's also like
milliseconds.
Yeah, it's like very, very, very low latency. So, and it's high quality, and it's free for, I think, up to two channels. You can record, but it just records, like if you have multiple people logged in, it will record everything just on like a two track. So the app is really designed as like podcast remote audio recording. So we can have seven people on our podcast. We can send them all out a link to log in. We have a host computer that is listening to all those devices, and we can hit record. It records all seven of those to just a straight left and right. If you wanted to record multiple channels or individual channels, that's a paid option. It's not very expensive, but in this type of scenario for mixing broadcasts, you don't necessarily need to record it, and you're not having more than two channels, so it's actually free. You don't have to pay for it.
Nice.
And it's pretty sweet. So, but same concept. So you'd remote into your computer and mix. Now, if you didn't have a DAW, as far as mixing, you could do the same thing with a board. So you can remote into the software or the app to your digital board. So Allen & Heath or Yamaha, Behringer, whatever it might be, and remote into that with your iPad app or computer that might be running that software that's at the church, or if you're VPN'd in, you can have that software on your physical computer and remote in. So there's that way of doing it. You'd still have to route that output to something other than your live stream. So route that program feed to your comm, or route that audio to a computer that runs clean feed and send that out over the network. So you can do it without a DAW. You can do it with a DAW. There's lots of options, but those two, as far as getting your low latency audio, is what I would recommend. As far as the multi-view, we kind of do that, but we kind of don't do that. So we actually live stream our multi-view and our comm on our Sunday morning services. And so, for a couple of reasons, mostly just for training and helping people grow as far as our camera ops and video directors. But it's a public view or a public live stream, so anybody can view it. And we use OBS for that. And there's been times where I'll just remote into that computer that's running OBS, and I'm able to see the live stream. I'm able to see the multi-view technically without live streaming. And there's basically no latency to that. So, because OBS is always open on that computer, that's all that computer is used for. It's got the multi-view ready to go. We don't have to live stream, and I can remote into that computer and I can see the multi-view. Or I click start, it live streams it. Obviously, there's a delay if I'm watching on that end of it. But yeah, I can remote into that computer running OBS. There's other apps you can use, but we use a Blackmagic mini recorder, whatever that little box is called, to a Mac mini. So that gets the input. So yeah, it works really well for us. We don't do it all the time, but there's been times where at my house, I'll log into that computer and I can see the multi-view. And yeah, and then I could remote into the video switcher if I wanted to and
switch
cameras,
yeah.
Listen to the program feed on the comm or clean feed. So I have real-time audio. I can switch cameras, or I've ran ProPresenter remotely. That was not that long ago I had to do that. I was deathly sick.
And no one could run it.
It was one of those weekends where nobody was available. And so I ran it.
From home.
For the entire weekend from my house. It worked really good. But I used the Unity intercom so I could talk to anybody. So if I did have an issue, I could let someone know. I actually used Unity on my phone, not on my Wi-Fi. And I made that decision only for the case of if my internet at my house dropped out, my comm would not drop out and I could quickly let someone know, hey, my internet's out. Someone jump on ProPresenter right now, basically.
Yep.
So it's just a kind of a safeguard in case something were to fail. My comm would stay connected and it worked great. So yeah, so that's what I would say as far as like remote work. Obviously, you've got other contractor remote work of, you know, graphic stuff. There's companies out there that you can send graphics to or ideas to.
Create content.
There's so
at least they used to do it. I don't know if they still do, but like creating announcement videos.
Yep.
Yeah, sending in the script and they send you back the video all done.
Yeah, there's lots of options out there. We have not gone that route. We've talked about doing things like that, but we haven't gone that route. We don't send out work really. We just do it for the most part all in-house. I think there's pros and cons to both of it. So obviously if you're limited staff or limited time, like you have to take the time, and it takes a lot of time to make a video. People don't understand a 30-second video or a 1-minute video can take hours of work by the time you film it, edit it.
I would say at least for every 1 minute of video, it takes an hour to edit.
At least probably.
That's
if you had like all the stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have to make a graphic and put that graphic in, well, there's more time. Or if you have someone that makes graphics, well, then you have to let that person know, hey, I need a graphic for this announcement. So they have to make it, send it to you. You put it in. You have to find background music if you're going to put music on it. So like, yeah, I would say at least an hour per minute, if not more.
So that being said, I did want to mention that while a lot of remote work that we did talk about today was logging into a device, there is just remote work that you can do from, you know, your laptop or your iPad, such as building tracks from home.
Yes.
And not logging into any device. Like there's just
the
classic, like I take my laptop or iPad home or build tracks on my phone, upload it to the cloud, and then I download it on the device.
Yes. That I'm using. Have you seen the new feature that Multitrax has released? Playback remote?
Yeah, I haven't used it yet.
It's pretty killer.
Have you used it?
Yes, multiple times.
We are looking at using it next week. This week.
Yeah.
We will be hosting a youth worship night.
Nice.
It was actually supposed to be like literally tonight, but we canceled it because of the weather.
Yes. In Illinois, in case you guys don't know, they call for 2 feet of snow and we get maybe a dusting almost every time. Not every time. Well, but almost every time. But yes,
just to explain a little bit more.
We've had really cold weather. We've had icy. We've had wind. We've had a chance of like 10 inches of snow.
This was, last night was supposed to be the rehearsal.
Got it.
So we canceled the rehearsal because of the actual storm that was rolling through.
Yes.
And therefore, since we couldn't rehearse, we decided.
Who needs to rehearse?
To can't you change
just,
the actual
Can't you just show up and week. Play? Who rehearses nowadays? Anyways, yeah, the playback remote is super cool. We used it on, I used it on Christmas Eve. So I was running sound in front of house and I had my iPad to control the pads. And
awesome.
It's, I was just doing pads. So we had a.
It's as easy as turning it on, right?
Kind of. You do have to save the. And this caught me a little bit and I didn't see it communicated anywhere. For the longest time, I could not actually connect. Like it would see the IP address of the computer. I'd hit connect and it was like the spinning wheel of death and it would never ever actually connect. And I was like looking everywhere, like banging my head against the wall. I'm like, what the heck is going on? You do have to save the playlist on the main computer, the host computer, to the cloud. Once you save it to the cloud, then the iPad or the other computer will connect right in. You can basically, as if you're at that computer, you can rearrange the arrangement of a song, add a song, delete a song, change keys, tracks, levels.
Nice.
What I was using it for is just the pad player. So we had a drummer, and so they controlled the tracks part of it. But then I was controlling pads at specific times between songs and stuff like that. It nice. Worked really cool. So, yeah, just a little extra tidbit there for you. Remote. It's got remote in the name. I totally forgot about that. And actually, you can actually do it through a VPN outside of the network.
Oh, sick.
I tried it. So I could, at my house, I could connect
and queue
to the VPN, queue tracks, play tracks. I can play a pad, stop a pad, change the key of a pad as if I was there, which is pretty cool.
One feature I would love to see added, or, and this is where I'm just going to make the announcement.
Because I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah. Well, Apple or whoever, but also if you're listening to this podcast, you went, well, duh, yeah, all that stuff's basic remote work. And you have some other ideas on how you have utilized remote work. We would love to hear those because we want to be more efficient in how we work as well. So please send those in, or if you have a suggestion for how to get the multi-view to an IP address directly for me, that'd be great.
Low latency. Not live streaming, just always live, ready to go. Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get at is, I forgot.
Wow, I was like holding my chair, like waiting. All that to say, oh, I forgot.
Yeah. So mainly, just send in your suggestions because we'd love to hear them.
Yes, we would. Anyways. With that, I think, unless you get something else. No, you forgot what you were going to say, so you don't have anything else.
Main thing is follow us on our Instagram.
Technology in Worship Podcast.
And be sure to send us some DMs either there or look us up on our personals.
Sure. Facebook, Instagram, whatever. We're there. I'm there more than Eric, but we're there.
Yeah. I'm going to be more present on the socials this year.
Wow.
That's a goal.
You've heard it here first, everybody.
Yeah. Whether that's the technology group chat stuff on Facebook or wherever.
New Eric, new year, new podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.